Today's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Test, test. I think we're on. Okay. From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico. And if I'm saying that, you know what's happening. Yes.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand. Just dreaming, sitting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 1st of August, 2016. Oh, yeah. We've got a special show for you tonight.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And I think I have my co-host in the studio. And if my co-host is in the studio, will you please greet the Spectrum 360 audience with the traditional greeting?
Yes, greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks, all by myself in the studio with Mark Skogman via Skype and our other guests via phone.
Yes, that's correct. This is a special edition of Spectrum 360. Excuse me. This is Mark Skogman. I am the host of the program, and I am hosting this program remote from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which was the site of the Democratic National Convention. My co-host, Terry Weeks, my occasional co-host, is co-hosting this week, and she is in the studio at the WTAN studios in Clearwater, Florida. And we will have two guests calling in live via telephone. And we'll talk to you about that in just a moment. And first, I want to say Spectrum 360 is copyright 2016 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. Yeah. On Spectrum 360, in this edition for Monday, the 1st of August, 2016, the focus of this program is all politics, baby. All politics. Segment one, live in the studio and via telephone, is a roundtable discussion with myself, Terry Weeks, and Michael Fox, who is the state director for the state of Florida for Progressive Democrats of America, and also was a Bernie Sanders delegate from the state of Florida to the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And also another Bernie Sanders delegate and from the state of Florida for Bernie Sanders, also to the Democratic National Convention, Amos Mears. So Amos Mears and Michael Fox will be on the program tonight. And we are going to discuss the Democratic National Convention, the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, their campaigns, and what happened at the Democratic National Convention inside and outside in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yes, so that's what's happening. And this is a special program. We are going to do this for the hour, with one exception. At approximately the bottom of the hour, we will take a brief break to hear a Jim Hightower commentary. But other than that, one brief break for Jim Hightower, we are going to dedicate this entire hour to our discussion with myself, Terry Weeks, Michael Fox, and Amos Mears. And since I'm remote, I have to ask, are our interview guests, have they called in yet? They have. Great. Both of them? Perfect. I also want to recognize Peter Blake, our engineer for this program. He is instrumental to this program since I am not in the studio. I normally engineer my own program, but since I'm remote, I'm relying on Peter Blake as the studio engineer. And he's doing an excellent job, and I really appreciate it. And he is very important to this program, so I want to recognize him.
Yay.
And you can pay me for that later. I might even plug your program, The Sports Web, on the TED Talk Radio Network. Bring your nonsense. Bring your stupidity. Just don't bring any passion, right? I know. I'm just kidding.
It's not that at all. It's actually bring your passion, bring your excitement, just don't bring any nonsense.
That's correct. I kid.
I know you do. I know you do. You're a funny guy.
So, yeah, I like to think so. At least in a good way.
Oh, absolutely.
So here's what Jim Hightower sounds like on this program.
Hear about a political platform that's actually rich in populist policies to benefit workaday people. Today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
So we'll take a short break for about a minute, and then we'll be back with our first segment. Stay with Spectrum 360. Woohoo!
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to hightowerlowdown.org.
And before we go any further, I want to recognize my co-host, Terry Weeks, because she is not only a registered nurse, she's also a member of the union National Nurses United,
woohoo!
Who has been instrumental in progressive politics all across the country, especially during the primary elections of this year. And this is a brief comment by Nina Turner from the People's Summit about the National Nurses United, of which Terry Weeks is a member.
Can I say something? I've never met anybody like the nurses. To a whole nother level, traveling the entire country, making it known that we need to have single-payer health care in this country and nothing less. We will not accept anything less.
Okay, my dedication to Terry and the National Nurses United. One last comment.
Just one other thing, I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk.
Thank you.
I feel better now. I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
Okay. All right, enough of that. Let's get to our first segment. Segment one on Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 1st of August, 2016. And I want to welcome back to Spectrum 360 for the umpteenth time this year, Michael Fox and Amos Mears. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm actually, is Mike on?
Well,
some problems with
Mike. Yeah, I have. He's actually messaging me now. He actually did not call in yet. So,
oh, okay.
I think he's trying to. He's been trying for the last 6 minutes. He says.
Okay. Well, we will wait for him to call, and we will start with you, and we'll get him on the air whenever he's able to complete his call. So that's cool. So, I want to start with just basically describing the situation and the setting here and what happened last week. Of course, last week from July 25th, which is a Monday, to July 28th, which was a Thursday, those 4 days, excuse me, the Democratic National Convention was conducted at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yes, the city of brotherly love. And it went those 4 days. Of course, Amos and Michael Fox, they were both Bernie Sanders delegates from the state of Florida to the Democratic National Convention advocating for the nomination of Bernie Sanders for president. And they were present here all 4 days and were inside the convention center. And myself and Terry Weeks, we are present all 4 days outside the convention center covering the events that were happening outside the convention center and all over the city of Philadelphia, other than in the convention center itself. So between Terry and I and Amos, our listeners, all of you dedicated Spectrum 360 listeners should get a pretty good idea of what happened at the Democratic National Convention. There was a lot of activity both inside and outside, an extraordinary convention, an extraordinary situation, And a lot happened inside and out. So I want to start with Amos. And Amos, I want you to tell us, you're there as a delegate. You're in the Wells Fargo Center as a delegate. It's Monday. And what starts to happen? And I'd like you to start, if you could just briefly describe what happened at the Florida delegation breakfast on Monday morning and when Debbie Wasserman Schultz addressed the Florida delegation at that breakfast. It was early Monday morning. What happened?
I sat down to eat and sat down with my fellow delegates, and there was somebody passing out, I can't remember the delegate's name, passing out some flyers or some letter-sized flyers about the emails saying Debbie might be showing up. And then literally minutes later, she did. It sparked such anger or frustration. It immediately we were all up out of our seats, right in front of her, shouting her down. Just everything she represented and what as a figurehead in the DNC, I think came like all to a point at that moment. We did not allow her to be in our space and speak for everything that they've done over the last 15 months, as revealed in the emails. I don't understand why she thought, and I actually later talked to somebody that she actually thought she was not as they use the term hated. I don't know if I'd use that term, but she disliked. Didn't think she was as hated as she was. And she thought she can literally come in that room and talk to us. And she started off by talking about a tragedy. Excuse me? She started off talking about a tragedy, and I think that was a clever ploy, and unfortunate, actually, that she used that, in conjunction with, our shouting her down, because it made it, they tried to make us look bad, like we were shouting down somebody talking about something very sensitive, but we didn't let her speak, and that moment I think set the tone for the week. We basically prevented her from. She was still going to get, even though she was fired or resigned or whatever. I mean, that's what, the second time in the last month. Keep bringing her. They fire her, bring her back. Fire her, bring her back. It's a joke. But this time they realized we were serious, and we were just Florida at that point. They were not going to bring her into Wells Fargo with 1,846 of us. We would all have been on her feet doing the same thing inside Wells Fargo. So she did not gavel in, she did not gavel out, she did not speak at the DNC at all. And after that moment, we got a ton of press coverage, and we spoke about the issues related to what we were frustrated with. Such as election fraud and tampering with Bernie's campaign, and I even was live on CNN talking about calling for a UN investigation of our elections. So whatever their attempt was, it backfired big time.
Okay, we're having some technical difficulties trying to get...
Terry, can you still hear me?
I can hear you, Amos. I think, did we lose Mark?
No, I think I'm still here.
Okay, good. We're trying to get Mike Fox. We're having a little technical difficulty there.
Okay, but everything else is okay. And Peter, I want to ask you a quick technical question. Are you doing the recording through Adobe Audition?
Of course.
Okay, good. I just wanted to double check because we hadn't discussed that before the program, and that was my error. Okay, great. Thank you. Amos, that did set the tone for the week, and it was early Monday morning, so basically that kicked everything off, and it was interesting that here she is the chair of the Democratic National Committee, and she did, because of the email problems, she did resign, but it was going to be effective after the convention, but after that Monday morning situation, she did resign, and she no longer spoke either, because she was basically in terms of the Florida delegation, a lot of other people. She was persona non grata at the convention because of what happened and what she did and what she's responsible for. So that kicked that off. So that's what happened Monday morning. Now, you go to the convention at the Wells Fargo Center, and what happens then? And when did you get there, and what did you experience then?
My first, this is unfortunate, my first experience of
okay, I'm going to break in here for just a minute. Pete says that Mark needs to hang up for a minute.
I need to hang up?
For a second, yeah, and then call back,
okay,
I guess?
Okay, we'll do that.
And then Amos, go ahead.
Okay. My first experiences of entering Wells Fargo.
Okay, we're having some technical problems, so I'm attempting to resolve those with our engineer, Peter, in St. Petersburg, and I will continue talking here. I have disconnected my telephone call to the control room, so I'm no longer I no longer have feedback on that as to what's happening. I'll have to reestablish that as soon as I'm able. I'll try to call back in approximately 1 minute or two, and I'll until then, I will attempt to just do another recap here as we go along while fixing these technical problems with the telephone system.
Hey, Mark, we got Mike Fox on.
The delegates go to the convention on Monday, and there were a number of strange things that happened during the convention starting on Monday with the roll call votes and how the roll call votes for the candidates for president were handled and how the delegates themselves, especially the Florida delegation and the California delegation, were treated at the convention. There was a lot of strange things that started to go on. So Amos and Michael Fox, they are in the convention itself at the Wells Fargo Center, which is in South Philadelphia, within sight of the I-95 freeway, which runs generally north-south along the river, the Delaware River, etc. There in Philadelphia, and they go to the center, and then myself and Terry Weeks, co-producer and co-host of this program, and associate producer for Spectrum 360, we were outside, and we were covering the demonstrations, and what happened was at 3 p.m., well, before that, even before 3 p.m., there was a demonstration about the Honduran activist that was killed. Berta, I do not know exactly how to pronounce her last name. I've heard it several times, and I should have had it written down, but I don't. But her first name was Berta, and there was a demonstration demanding an investigation into her killing. And that's been a pretty high-profile story. So we covered that demonstration. You can see the still photographs from that at Spectrum 360 radio program on Facebook. And it sounds like we're getting a call back in. I'll attempt to establish reestablish contact here and see if we can get this back on. And control room, can you hear me?
This is Terry. We have Mike Fox.
Yeah, we have Mike Fox on the line. He's on the line right now.
Okay. So we have Amos and Michael on the line now?
Correct.
Yes, we do.
And am I going to be able to stay on the line as well?
I don't know about that right now.
Okay. Well, that might be a bit of a problem, but we'll deal with that as it comes. Okay, so we were outside, and Terry and I covered these demonstrations, and then at 3 p.m. there was a demonstration called A March for Your Lives, or March for Our Lives, that started at City Hall in Philadelphia and went all the way down Broad Street, approximately 4 miles to the Wells Fargo Center, which is at the southern end of Broad Street. And City Hall is in the middle of downtown Philadelphia, right on Broad Street as well. So it was a straight shot straight down the city south to the convention center.
And the temperature was about 100 degrees.
Say again, Terry?
The temperature at the time was about 100 degrees.
Yes, yes. It was very, very hot. And so there were speakers before the demonstration, the march actually started, and there were a number of speakers there. Many people gathered. There was probably at least 300 people out there on the streets, and more came, and there were extraordinary number of speakers there. Cornel West was present, also Christopher Hedges, and Sherry Hockala, who is the member of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, who was there and was one of the main organizers of the march. And there were hundreds of people there. And they started this march, and then it went down Broad Street to the convention center. Now, hundreds of people left with after those speakers spoke from a makeshift stage that was a pickup truck that was parked on the southern side of the City Hall block. The City Hall takes up an entire block there, and actually, okay, and I'm going to get attempt to get back on here. Okay. And apologize for the technical problems. We're attempting to establish connections with the studio again. And I'll continue my narration here. And what happened was hundreds of people left with the original speakers. And then when most of the march had left, Jill Stein came to the stage and started speaking and spoke for about a half an hour. And then also Immortal Technique spoke as well. And that was quite interesting. Wow. That was very, very interesting. And Terry, why don't you take it from here and just give us your experience as to what happened on the march. It was very, very hot, extremely hot, extremely humid.
It was extremely hot.
It affected a lot of the marchers. And Terry, go ahead and take over the narration here and just give us your experience of what happened as we attempted to cover that march. Terry,
yeah, we did
I don't
have,
know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Can.
You
I'm
can't hear me.
I'm attempting to call back into the control room. And please go ahead and take over.
Okay. Yeah, it was about 100 degrees and very humid. I think it was actually hotter in Philadelphia than it was down here at the time. We did hear speeches from Cornel West, Christopher Hedges. Little peculiar, half the march had already begun. About half the people had left when Jill Stein came on the scene and gave a speech. A lot of the people on the march were Bernie or Bust or Jill Stein Green Party supporters. A lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of chanting, hey, hey, DNC, we won't vote for Hillary, things like that. A lot of people dropping out, though, a lot of people getting heat exhaustion, myself included. We stopped at a restaurant close to FDR Park, which was mobbed with people. A Philly cheesesteak place, probably the most business they'd ever seen, mobbed with people getting water and food. And then I think Jill Stein did give a speech, but was interrupted by torrential rainpour at that point. So kind of an anticlimactic end to the march, but it was a really interesting march. It was
Terry, let me interrupt for just a moment if you are speaking. Michael Fox is calling the studio number 727-441-3000, and there's no answer. So please try to answer his call.
We are not having a late. We're not getting it coming in.
In the studio. So if you're able to connect Michael Fox, please go ahead and take over the conversation. I'm going to try to drop out here for a moment and try to solve some technical problems on my end. But Terry, take over as host, and let's get Michael and Amos on the line, and I'll attempt to listen and attempt to participate.
I'm still here.
Who's here? Who we got?
Skype, if I'm able
I'm
to.
I'm Amos. I've been here the whole time.
So go ahead, take over, Terry.
Okay, Amos.
Sorry for the interruption.
So we were talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming into the Florida breakfast. And was that kind of a spontaneous outburst from the Bernie delegates, or was that something that you all planned?
There was somebody that was prepping people, and I can't remember the delegate's name. Actually, some people are listening in. Maybe they can tell me. It was mostly spontaneous. The organization came in with somebody at least having the foresight to have print up some flyers that said something about the emails, so that's what we all held in our hands. But otherwise, it was. We've all been organizing for the last 15 months and connecting through grassroots, communications through the state. So it didn't take much for us to organize on the spot anyway,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty powerful, actually. That's Florida. And then when you think about all 1,846 of us when we're inside the Wells Fargo, you have a massive grassroots network that, we basically, we're all of like mind, so we're able to organize on the fly. But it was mostly spontaneous, and we all operated as one, and we shut her down. It sparked such outrage that she would even show up to that space.
Really tone deaf on her part, I think.
Yeah, and I was speaking with somebody that said that she actually believed she can go in there and talk to us.
Wow.
Like it was going to be okay.
Do you look at social media,
yeah,
Debbie?
Definitely not. Yeah, she's not in touch with reality. But she is now.
Well, I think the DNC probably owes you all a vote of thanks, because that little scene did not take place on the main convention floor in the evening on national television, which it probably would have if you all hadn't shut her down earlier.
Correct. Yeah, I believe that would have been the case. And, they stopped her from even being to gavel in, to speaking, or being on the stage, period. They pulled her completely. I mean, she was at Wells Fargo, I believe, but not in any visible way.
And the people that I've talked to, you know, here that watched it on TV, everybody said it was just a wonderful convention. It was the people were so good, and they were so proud to be Democrats, and they just came away with a really warm, fuzzy feeling from watching the convention. Did you come away with a warm, fuzzy feeling?
That was people watching it?
Yeah, watching it at home on TV.
No. We were not welcome at that convention. We were talked down to. We were given false information. We were not seated as early as Hillary delegates. You name it, they did it to us. It was not a warm and fuzzy anything. The only thing warm and fuzzy was my pillow that I got to sleep on, every once in a while.
Occasionally. I heard that there were a number of really kind of dirty tricks, I guess. I heard that Hillary delegates were allowed into the convention center considerably earlier than the Bernie delegates, and something about not being able to get seats.
Yeah, the very first night, as a matter of fact, I'll be honest, after that first night, I sat in the lobby and considered flying back home. I was like, why am I here? What's the point of this? That whole first day with the votes was all staged. We were asked by both all the delegates by both campaigns were asked to be quiet and just sit there. Because there was nothing to really speak out against, we were just watching the show, and that's exactly what it was—a show. We were expecting, to be engaging in dialogue, to be part of some voting process, and it was just—it was a show made for TV. So getting there, as soon as I walk into the building, the first thing I see is their memorabilia, their items that they're selling, and they have this picture of Hillary that looks a bit Orwellian. And then there's a shirt of Bernie Sanders. And have you seen this image of the
I have seen the shirt.
The
yeah,
one?
It's a very unflattering caricature of him.
Yeah, I mean, at first I would say it was almost like a fat cat tycoon type of 1920s, caricature. But then it kind of looks like a rat face, It's just very disrespectful image of Bernie, and that's a shirt that they were selling at the convention. And there's a quote on the back of Bernie, one of his quotes. So they're selling as if it's a legitimate item that we would buy.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that they bought. They sold. Well, I don't know if they sold anyone. They definitely didn't sell anyone to any Bernie delegates, because it's just great. I should have bought one just for evidence.
It was very unflattering. I mean, arguably even maybe a little anti-Semitic. I don't know.
That was my first view going in, but then trying to get a seat, people were saving, a seat next to them, which was no big deal. But the place, it was already packed when I walked in. There was an entire
very
row
empty,
when they gabbled in, the ushers were telling us all to sit in our seats. And I said, I can't find a seat, and then no one will let me sit anywhere. This Hillary delegate that was blocking the row got into it with me, and I'm pretty sure I didn't say anything to him first. I was just like voicing my outrage about not being able to find a seat, and he got into it with me. He's about probably twice my size, I'm pretty sure he's the biggest Hillary delegate there in Florida. But anyway, we got into it, and I mean, it almost came to blows just to get a seat.
Wow.
And yeah, and then so I stood there for a little bit. Somebody that was had a seat reserved from their friend let me sit there, and then I, you know, I realized if I stayed there, it would have been something would have happened. So I walked away, and then there was no seating, so I stood for 5 hours in the back of the seats with Mike and another delegate, Denise. So yeah, for the first 5 hours, I stood until there was some empty seating that I could use. Yeah, so I mean, my first impressions of the whole thing were not very fun. And then it just was boring for quite a while after that, actually. I mean, the voting was just, it was all staged. Luckily, you know, there was a few highlights that night. One I missed, I didn't know about it for the next day, but Ali Kernaz had unfurled the Palestinian flag right in front of the convention hall, and that was pretty amazing. And he, you know, there was a lot of slurs sent his way from people around him, but it took a lot of courage, and I thought it was a pretty good thing to do to show, you know, because that's one of the issues we've been asking for, you know, on the platform to include the you know, more language on Palestinian rights and humanitarian aid. So yeah, that was a really important, I think, moment. And then at the end, of course, we heard Bernie speak to us, which, you know, is always great.
A lot of emotion there when Bernie was speaking.
Yeah, yeah. And he gave, of course, a great speech, like always. And what was unfortunate was during his speech, many Hillary delegates left in the middle of a speech. One of them tore up a Bernie sign.
Really?
And I will say, I didn't see anything tore up by any Bernie delegate, period. We never walked out on anyone's speech. We didn't interrupt anyone's speech other than, you know, Debbie that morning. But we expressed ourselves, but we never disrupted the convention. And for people to leave when they were always talking about this unity, this idea of unity, was clearly, you know, there was no unity there. There was no unity at that convention.
That's unfortunate. It seemed to me pretty heavy-handed to try and get the Bernie people just to be quiet and get out of the way. It seems like Hillary's kind of made a calculation that she's gonna move to the center. Hopefully, she'll get some of the saner Republicans who can't go with Trump, and that she doesn't really
need the progressive vote. Did that happen?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
I think he's gone again.
Okay. Which was Hello? Interesting, and I saw
what
this
the
last night at the convention.
That was the first day, I think, wasn't it, that you got into it with the bigger Hillary delegate?
Yeah.
Can I jump in real quick, Amos? Mike Fox here. Can I jump in real quick?
Never know who's going to show up on this show.
Fox here, real quick. If I can chime in, something that I think that we need to remember through this whole process is that the Bernie delegates, me being one of them, and the Hillary delegates had a totally different vision of, and the party had a totally different vision of what this event was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we need to keep that in mind. The analogy that I use is that the Bernie delegates thought it was going to be, and I think that they're right in expecting it to be, a convention to be closer to a constitutional convention a la 1776, where you have delegates on the floor arguing back and forth. It gets heated sometimes. They come to compromises. They vote a lot, and work gets done. That was the vision.
That was not the expectation of the party mainstream.
Bingo. And the analogy I use there is all the Hillary delegates were looking for a wedding. You know, bottom line, here's this man, here's this woman, bring them together, everything's fine, let's feel good and eat some cake. And in the middle of that, we had Bernie delegates who I underscore what Amos is saying. There was nothing out of hand or violent or, I mean, bottom line, all those people who walked out could just as easily have walked to that stage and taken it over or tried to.
And they did
and
not
they
do
did
that.
Not. They made a conscious decision.
I can guarantee you we could have taken that stage and
yeah,
no, we
totally,
not, we,
totally.
We're not gonna
and
do that.
They made the conscious decision not to, to, out of respect for Bernie and for the process and for everyone around them. So, I mean, I show 100% solidarity with the tactics that were used. However, I think all of our Bernie people, me included, need to recognize that basically even us just holding up a sign in the DNC's mind and in Hillary people's mind was basically like screaming out, the bride's a whore, don't marry her. And,
yeah,
you know, and you just don't do that in
right.
a wedding.
And actually, Josh Fox was talking about that, too. He was talking about the real clash of cultures between the Hillary people, mainstream, suit-wearing kind of Democrats, and then these Bernie people coming in new to the process, they're all activists, they're wearing their activist t-shirts, you know,
yep,
stop fracking,
yep,
stop the TPP, they're staying six to a hotel room. Very, very different kinds of people with very different expectations.
Yeah, totally. And while I show 100% solidarity with Amos, and he would never say this, but I have to say this, really proud to be associated with all the work that Amos did, the approach that he took, the approach that he took through the entire process, I was just really, really proud to be associated. And our people most assuredly represented Bernie well, even though there was that, and there was a rift where Bernie was asking, look, I'd appreciate it if you didn't do that. However, the movement was basically saying to him at that point, Bernie, just like you've always said, this is ground up. It's ground up, mm-hmm, and it's not top down. And we love you, but some things have to be said here. And so at the end of the day, what I'm hoping here is that that our heads don't explode. My concern right now is that there are way too many heads exploding over this right now. Because bottom line, nobody got punched.
And that's,
you know,
a good thing.
For both sides. Both sides. Nobody got punched. It was crazy that we had the kind of uphill battle that we did, most assuredly. But by the same token, I think that Amos would agree, coming out of this thing, there is a real opportunity that we all need to see, that I'm thinking right now an awful lot of the Bernie people aren't seeing. Would you agree with that, Amos?
Yeah, and actually that's what I'd rather focus on, rather than recapping a lot of the negative stuff, because there is a lot of substance that came out of that. And you're right, I went there to work. I thought we were going to be doing a lot of work there, and we did, just in a different way.
Bingo.
And I
Bingo.
Did recognize that holding up a sign was just that alone was enough to ruffle feathers. I recognize that. I knew that when it was happening. I felt it had to be done. I want to talk about what we got out of it, leaving. And you know what? There was a couple heated moments. I saw two people get up on their chairs in each other's faces. They sat back down a minute later. No, you're right. Nobody that I know of actually got physical, and that's pretty impressive, given the amount of tense moments there were. Nobody touched anybody, to my knowledge. So, I mean, you're right about that. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of yelling and this and that, but it never crossed the line beyond that. Let's talk about what we got out of it, because I think we do. We didn't get the nomination, of course. That's the biggest. That was the biggest expectation, you know, that people had prior to all, you know, during the campaign, was that was our goal, right, to nominate Bernie, and that didn't happen. But I did recognize what we did accomplish throughout that week and what we left with. I'd like to talk about it a little bit more. Do you want to chime in on that, Mike, or do you want me to continue?
Yeah, what do you think the number one good thing that's come out of this is?
I I feel like I'm okay. So 1,846 of us went there, all right, and we knew the math. We showed up. We spent the money. We raised the money. We knew the nomination was slim to no chance of happening. We were still hoping that there was something that would happen. But we all went there. We stayed. We were part of the process. We learned a lot. We found allies within the party that had been waiting for us. And I feel we firmly are a part of the party. And a lot of us are we follow Bernie's message that we became precinct committee people or other different elected positions within the party. I feel that we really show that, hey, we're here to stay. We're here. We're part of the party, and we're gonna fix whatever we see wrong with it, and be part of positive social change. So to me, I feel like we're firmly I don't know what the right word here that sounds
firmly connected,
entrenched, but yeah. We're connected. We're connected, deeply connected, intertwined inside the party.
And I think one of the most important parts of Bernie's message is he kept telling his supporters, get involved in local politics, run for local office, run for school board. And
yes, absolutely.
And his supporters are saying, we're in it. We're going to do it.
Run local.
And actually, what goes on in, you know, city council or school board affects people's day-to-day lives a lot more than what goes on in Washington, D.C.
Amen. And what really excited me about the whole thing, it's going to sound trite. I keep thinking of what my grandfather.
All politics is local.
Amen.
Politics is local.
Amen. And I keep thinking of the trite phrase that my grandfather always used, but it's kind of true. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. Get back to work. That was my grandfather's approach to everything. And this is very worthwhile work. And I think that the thing that I would hope that are more, and I don't want to use the term radical, there's a better term, more vociferous, more animated, are more animated folks that we had there. I would hope that they take this opportunity to see that while they maybe didn't feel that they would be being treated the way they necessarily wanted to be treated, notice where they were doing it on a national stage. They were in the big leagues doing that, and the way they got in the big leagues.
And we did see those anti-TPP signs.
Bingo. And there is no question that Hillary Clinton's current position that she would not vote for the TPP is a direct result. Now, I will say work has been done for that for 4 years. You and Mark have been involved in that here locally extensively. I mean, there was an awful lot of groundwork that was laid. However, that final push, the weeks leading up to and at that convention, made that happen. We already saw what they were going to try to do with the platform committee. Dance around it and not come out and say no TPP, period. Well, we got the candidate to say it.
Yeah. And we've got millions of people in America who still probably didn't know what it was, and now they do.
It was mind-boggling to me. I can't count the number of Clinton delegates who had no idea what the TPP was. I talked to probably 9 different people who didn't have a clue.
That's amazing.
Have a clue.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But now they do.
Yeah, Bubba. And as well as just the whole energy.
Really?
To me, this whole thing had a lot of energy to it.
No idea what the TPP was?
Pardon me?
Oh, Mark's got a delay, I think. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I was just saying that what really excited me about this, and it's tough right now, you got an awful lot of Bernie people who are licking their wounds, et cetera, et cetera.
No idea what the TPP was. I'm sorry for the large delay. A large delay.
Don't worry. All good things come to those who are persistent.
Well, I think it's important to reinforce again to a lot of the delegates that left to really realize what we did win coming out of that. That may not still understand it.
Yeah.
That we are now firmly on the inside. Our fingers are near the levers of positive social change. They didn't want us there for that reason, and now we're within reach. We were there. We're inside. Aside from nominating Bernie, this is the next biggest thing you can possibly hope for. We showed that we're not going anywhere. And I hope that most people stay in the party and now that they recognize that they have this place in the party and to work to make it better, to fix what we think is wrong with it, to make it democratic, and recognize the true power that we now possess.
And there
have
are,
access to.
There are progressives in the Democratic Party, people like Mike Fox, who have been fighting kind of a lonely battle that welcome the support.
They've been waiting for the larger crowd.
We've been waiting, yeah.
I met so many new allies that have been doing this for a very long time, waiting for this mass of people, and I think they felt refreshed by it. So I met a lot of great new allies in the party that you're referring to. So that was another great thing that came out of it. The networking with some new people. And when I got back on Saturday, I got a call from Steve Purnell, city council member from St. Pete. And he was saying, hey, I know a lot of people are down right now, but, we have projects that we can be working on locally and we can get people involved. He's looking for, people to get involved. And that's exactly what we all were just talking about, being involved locally. We have Alan Grayson running for state, our U.S. Senator. We need to get him in there. We have work to do. We have people that are already elected that locally that want us to join and help. And we have other people we do need to elect, to fight for us, at, all levels of government. So, we have a lot of work to do and we're in a good position, to do this work.
We are, and I know, look, I've been involved in Democratic politics in the county for a long time, and one thing we're always saying is, I wish we had more good people to run for office. We need more people to run, and especially we say we need more good young people to run.
Amen.
And now there's going to be this influx, I think, that we really need, and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, are you kidding me? I know Amos would never say this. We got two. Now, there are lots of people I don't want to impugn, I don't want to forget anyone in this process, but the two who immediately come to mind, Amos and Denise Lombardi both have elected written all over them.
You think?
All over them. So Amos doesn't realize we're going to get him elected yet, but.
But we will.
it's pretty cool that that a lot of the supporters, when I came back, seeing there's somebody posted a video, local supporter, and kind of did a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Who's your guy? What locally? And tagged me in the post. So getting closer to that decision, right?
Good. Well, in some, I think the convention, it was kind of a interesting event. It was contentious a little bit, but not bad. I think in the long run, it's going to invigorate the party.
In comparison, we have to remember, Amos, you were probably, well, we were both just immersed inside. But maybe Terry, you and Mark saw something. I didn't see anything about Billy Clubs coming out.
Not
in the street.
At all, I got to say.
And it wasn't Chicago in that regard.
Not at
there
all.
There was more respect shown for what was going on in the street than in 1968. There's no question.
Absolutely. I mean, there was always, your couple, five or ten, people dressed in black who think they're anarchists that want to stir things up, but nobody really pays any attention to them. And in fact, one of the protests we were at, a lot of people encircled them and started chanting, "We're not with them. We're not with them."
Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah.
See, we had this
That's
together,
good to hear,
man.
I haven't heard a lot about what happened outside, unfortunately, where I normally would be. That normally is where I'd be at. So, I didn't get to hear a lot about what happened out there. I did notice that the cops weren't dressed up in the same intense riot gear that we had in Tampa in 2012. And that was a positive. Did you see any, the riot gear?
No, I saw no riot gear. They had the bicycle police kind of containing people a little bit, but no, didn't see the riot gear at all. The police did not have the militant attitude, neither did the protesters. Like I said, the few that came to cry and stir things up, that they got surrounded by the crowd. We don't support this. We don't support this. We come in peace. Really, it was a great effort.
And inside, too, there was a lot of references to 1968, both inside and outside, in this convention, as if we were going to go inside and act like something that we're not. We didn't do anything remotely close to whatever happened in 1968, where it became just chaos inside. It was very organized and very well done, and no one that I know of got it, and no one in Florida anyway got ejected, because nobody crossed the line. Everyone did what they needed to do and stayed within the bounds of what was proper in that environment, and still got the message out. We got lots of media, lots of stories, lots of good coverage on the issues, and we got this. I did more interviews and got more solid stories out in that week as a delegate than I did in the last 4 to 6 years.
You guys got some serious media, yeah. And then the Sanjay Patel was out there with his light up Bernie jacket.
Yeah, and I heard that that even like the cameras from the official cameras would always go back to his shirt or his jacket. Excuse me. He was. You couldn't get an interview if you're near him. You can have a line of reporters waiting in line to talk to him, and you can stand there, and it doesn't matter. You're not going to get an interview. They're waiting to talk to Sanjay.
Talk to the jacket, dude.
That jacket, by the way, is going to be in the Smithsonian
for
this convention.
Wow.
So it lives on forever as part of this convention.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm really proud of all the Bernie people. I think they acquitted themselves beautifully at the convention. Looking forward to seeing more of that energy.
Well, you're going to see it if we can close on the big project for the next month. because we definitely have something we can be focusing our energies on, especially if we have folks listening now who are Bernie supporters, feeling a little bit adrift right now, not quite sure what to do, et cetera, et cetera. It's real simple. Alan Grayson and Tim Canova have an election on August 30th. Everyone across the country can jump on a phone bank and make sure that happens. And if anyone has any interest in doing very simple telephone calls from home, they can hit me up at Mike Fox, MikeFox, at P like Progressive, D like Democrat, America.org. We'll get you cranking. You can do 15 minutes. You can do 3 hours. You can do whatever you want. But that's the big pitch for what in the heck are we going to do? We're going to get Bernie-crats elected here. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to thump Trump.
Absolutely.
Between now and November. Doesn't matter. I as a Democrat, of course, it's my job to be promoting Hillary Clinton. I show respect for those who cannot go there. I would ask that you take a very hard look, no matter what state you are in. If you are a swing state, take a very hard look at what that math is. And if you are inclined to vote for Jill Stein, I would simply ask that you also, while you are doing that, make sure that you thump Trump. That is the goal. We can all come together at the end of the day in mid-November, regardless of who voted for who, so long as we're all thumping Trump.
Absolutely.
I need to clarify that thump Trump a bit. Within the delegates, they were clear that they didn't want to do any negative attacks on Trump, and I was stating that that's not what I was suggesting, and I don't think thump Trump needs to suggest that either. Thump Trump means simply telling people the truth about
yes.
Trump, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Simply,
okay, we got to wrap it up. But thanks to you, Amos and Mike, for all your hard work during the primary season and at the convention and that you're going to be doing in the future. It's going to be exciting.
Always a pleasure. Peace to you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.